this morning and I started my day. God's mercy was with me all of the way. His goodness stayed close by to meet all my needs. My Lord is taking good care of me.
I'm never forsaken, I'm never alone. One day I'm moving to my brand new home. I'm blessed beyond measure, just look close, you'll see. My Lord is taking good care of me.
I'm counting my blessings as I journey. A special or specials? A special. Okay. I was paying attention to that. I wasn't paying attention. Okay, Jeremiah 9:23. Okay, Jeremiah 9:23 and 24. And then 1 Kings 13, 2 Kings 22, 2 Chronicles 34. So, okay. We'll kind of hang around there. So, let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand your words. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us to rejoice in your words. And I pray that you'd help us to be understanding of certain situations and just trust you in the matter. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Jeremiah 9:23 is what most people glory in or are excited about. Maybe even you can take it to the limit of worshiping that idea. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his strength, neither the rich man glory in his riches. That's what most people glory in. So here's what he said we should glory in. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Okay, so those three things the Lord delights in. Loving kindness would be toward a person who was wrong, that repents and gets right, and the Lord rejoices in that. Rejoices in a person who is wrong, who proudly will not get right, and the Lord judges that person. The Lord rejoices in that. And for a person who longstandingly tries to seek to live a righteous life, the Lord rejoices in that. Those are the three areas that he's talking about. And last week I revealed about Israel, and I think I put back there, you know, some more of the Israel kings and Judah and stuff like that. And that shows us some things, okay? It shows us that when God decides to bring judgment, either on the actual criminals or the entire nation, it is determined by a certain quota in that nation, okay? In Elijah's day, Elijah felt like he was all alone, but then the Lord said, hey, I got 7,000. And then he told Elijah at that time to anoint a fellow named Jehu, and we went through that last week, and I'm sure you remember everything that was said last week. You probably got it memorized. Okay, and so Jehu delighted the Lord in executing judgment, one of the three. Okay, but he really only did judgment. He did not live a righteous life. But he did the one that was the Lord blessed, that the Lord pleased. And the reason why he fulfilled the one, that the quota evidently was 7,000 or somewhere in that range. The Lord said there were 7,000. So God limited the judgment to the criminals specifically, Ahab, Jezebel, and their descendants. Now later on when judgment was brought on Israel, evidently the quota dropped. Or the number that they didn't meet the quota, so he judged the entire nation. Now with Judah, there's a fellow named Josiah. Okay, now Josiah is also one who executes justice, but he also lived a righteous life, and also people who got right under his administration had a loving kindness. So Josiah had three of the three, where Jehu had one of the three. And so I want to look at Josiah this morning as far as the record of the Bible, 1 Kings 13. I'm just going to kind of reference some of the passages, okay, and kind of lay this out for us. Now, Josiah, I'll give you a little background. He and Jeremiah were of the same age, and they were buddies. Jeremiah's dad was named Hilkiah. We're going to see that name as we read in here. Hilkiah was the priest in Jerusalem, in Judah. And Josiah would have been the son of a bad king, and the son in his grandfather was an extremely bad king. And this tells us one thing, is just because maybe your parents are wrong, that doesn't mean the child is automatically going to do wrong. Just because the parent, if the parents are right, that doesn't automatically say that the child's going to do right. Each of us will answer for ourselves. So that's quite a testimony. In 1 Kings chapter 13, okay, there's a young fella, his name is not given. Now, this storyline, if you read it, and I encourage you to read the entire storyline, is played out in virtually every Christian college in America and all of the seminaries. All of them. Okay, well, this young man in chapter 1 Kings 13, verse 2, was told by God, I want you to go pronounce judgment against this altar, against this religious ceremony. And the king is going to be there. Boy, he took a lot of courage to do that. The king was Jeroboam. He was a bad guy. And so he went, and here's what he said in verse 2. He cried against the altar and the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David. Josiah by name. Now he's really sticking his neck out there. And upon thee shall he, this Josiah, offer the priest of the high places. You know what goes on there, hopefully. Don't have to do the research on it, but just read the Bible. That burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. Okay, now in the Bible, a son can be a son, it can be a grandson, it can be a great-grandson, it can be a son-in-law, it can be a stepson, it can be an adopted son. So it's got all those that go with the son. Now Josiah, in this case, happens, will be the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson. 18 down there. Okay, that 350 years later. Now, in the storyline, this young man pronounces judgment. The king is standing there and all the politicians, and he's got the golden calf, and the king is mad. This guy just pronounced judgment on my altar. The king got mad, was going to have the soldiers get this guy. And then right at that time, King Jeroboam, if you read the story, gets leprosy. He cried out, Oh man of God, pray for me. What would you have prayed at that time? Let me think about that for a while. Okay, God heal him. So he had two signs, two miraculous signs right on the spot. God healed the guy, Jeroboam shocked. And Jeroboam said, Oh, I want to give you a gift. And would you come to my house and eat and drink with me? And the young man said, No can do. The word of the Lord told me not to eat or drink with anybody. You see, Jeroboam was a bad guy, so this young fella said, Oh no, a bad guy, I'm not going to trust what he says. No way. He leaves. Okay, an old college professor that he had in a seminary in a previous time sent a message to him, Hey, would you come over and meet with me? And the young guy said, Oh no, no can do. I said, The Lord told me not to do it. And the old college professor said, Oh, you must not understand the original languages. And actually what happened in my translation, it says that you can come and stay with me and eat and drink with me. And he did. And then the old rascal, while they're eating and drinking, got out of King James Bible and he said, God is going to judge you for not obeying my words. And then he walks out. He gets on his Democratic mascot, you know, a donkey out there, and he heads home, and a lion comes along and grabs the young fellow off the donkey and kills him on the spot, doesn't eat the carcass, that's against nature, because animals obey what God says. And then it says his body was cast in the way. Unfortunately, that's happening all across this country. I was almost one of those that bought into that. And I've talked to many that have, and they've lost their faith in the words of God. Okay, so there's Josiah. 975 B.C., if you look at the approximate date on it in the reference Bible. Now, if you would, I would go to two places if you'd like to keep up with it. 2 Kings 22 and 23, and then 2 Chronicles 34 and 35. So this would be a great time when your vestigial organ of your tail that fell off through the years, if, unfortunately, if you had your tail, you could put it as a, you know, as a marker in your Bible. You could flip back and forth. But, you know, that's why they keep this little slit in the back of your suit coat, because that's where the tail could have came through. But, you know, okay, we miss out on that idea. In 2 Kings 22 and 2 Chronicles. Now, 2 Chronicles, 1 and 2 Chronicles, are the would be the public records of the kings of Judah. So this would be what they have written down in their official governmental documents. Okay, now, in 2 Kings 22 and in 2 Chronicles 34, we find out when this young boy becomes a king. When this great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson of Jeremiah, David becomes a king. 2 Kings 22, verse 1, he's 8 years old. How would you like to become a king at 8? King James became a king at 1. I mean, can you imagine if they took the people in Scotland, let's go see the royal king, and there he is in a diaper. That was the king. He's 1 year old in Scotland. Okay, and of course they had a tutor that started teaching him as he grew up, and that tutor was a very strong man in the words of God, and he started molding King James, and King James came along with it and turned out to be a king of England also, King James I. And the oldest English settlement in our country is Jamestown, named after King James. So that's the foundation of our country. Wow, what a foundation, right? Did the historians tell us about that? So here's this King here's this Josiah, okay? 8 years old. He starts seeking after the Lord at 16. 8 years later, he's starting to seek after the Lord. 4 years later, after he was seeking after the Lord, he started cleaning up the Jewish temple. He saw it was in disarray. We need to clean this mess up. And then 6 years later, when he was 26, he had a second cleaning up. He was going to execute judgment. He was going to institute righteousness. And people who wanted to get right, he was going to exercise loving kindness. Josiah, quite a character, quite an individual. If we read down through some of it, now, you know this guy. This guy, his dad was a bad cat, and his grandfather was a real bad cat. His grandfather was executed. He was having child sacrifices and everything. Josiah could have been one of those. He slipped through the cracks. God had him slip through those cracks, and here he is. He knew what his dad did, and he knew what his grandfather did, because when you're in that, word gets around. And so this guy knew what was going on in 2 Kings 23, verse 25. Here's what the narrative says about him. Verse 24. Moreover, the workers with the familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away. Judgment. Kicked it out. Cleaned up the temple. He took all the Baalite statues and threw them out. Cleaned it up. Boy, he did a good job. That he might perform the words of the law which are written in the book that Hilkiah the priest, that's Jeremiah's dad, found in the house of the Lord. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. The amazing thing, he had this such a great revival, and then after he passed away, his son took over, and it went down for 3 months, another and another, and boom, down it went. They lost the quota. And when it went down, God said to Jeremiah, He said, I want you to run through the city and see if you can find one person in a religious and political arena. If you can find one person, I will pardon Jerusalem and Judah. He didn't find one. The quota dropped down to nothing. God judged the entire nation. Well, when the quota is at a certain level, God limits the judgment to the specific criminals. Okay, the ones violating the law, but when it drops down, God says, okay, you're all done. That's what he did in Sodom and Gomorrah. So this guy, let's see what he did when in cleaning some of the stuff up. Let's try the 2 Chronicles 34 passage. Verse 3. In the 8th year of his reign. Okay, so he became king in 8. 8 years later, 16 years old. Boy, teenagers can do quite a bit. Okay, and then it says he began to seek after the God of David, his father. Of course, this is his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. Okay, and then it says, and in the 12th year, after he started studying the words, he said, man, things are not right. Things are amiss. We got to fix this. He began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places. What goes on there? Bad, bad stuff. And the groves, Bohemian Grove. You know anything about the Bohemian Grove? Carved images, molten images. They break down the altars of Balaam. Baal. Cannibal. Cannibal. Baalites. Whoa. He knew what was going on behind the scenes. He was in the family. You know, the public may not have known it, but the elitists knew it. And so it says, and he cut down the groves into carved images and the molten images. He break in pieces and made dust of them and strode it upon the graves of them that sacrificed it. And he burned the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. Burned the bones. 350 years before that. That's what that young fella said. Came true. Now, do you think that morning Josiah was reading that account? I think I'll go burn the bones of some priest. No, the Lord made the statement, and then he started putting in the thoughts of Josiah, you need to clean this mess up. Dig them bodies up there and take them skeleton down there and let's burn that. Let's get rid of all that. Let's blow it to the wind. And Josiah did that. Let's try the record in 2 Kings 23. Of course, we know the world's gotten better and things like this. These, you know, draconian things don't take place anymore. Right. 2 Kings 23, verse 4. The king commanded Hilkiah the high priest. That's Jeremiah's dad. 2 Kings 23, 4. And the priests of the second order, keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord. This stuff is in the Jewish temple. The vessels that were made for Baal and the grove. And all the host of heaven, and he burned them without Jerusalem in fields of Kidron, and carried the ash of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priest, whom the king of Judah had ordained, to burn incense in the high places, in the cities of Judah, and in places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the host of heaven. And verse 6, he stamped it into powder. Verse 7, look who's there. He break down the houses of the Sodomites. Well, that nasty character, he wasn't real tolerant. He break down, what do the Sodomites do right next to the Jewish temple? What are them perverts doing around there? All that were by the house of the Lord were the woven tangs of the grove. Drop down to verse 10. He defiled Tophet. Which is in a valley of the children of Hinnom. What did they do in that valley? That no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. That's right outside the city wall of Jerusalem. If you take a bus tour, the road will come around. And the tour guide said, this is the valley of Hinnom. And if God gave you the hearing, you probably would hear children screaming. there because the blood cries out. Okay, so that right there in the Valley of Hinnom, Josiah knew that. Josiah could have been one of the children there. But God intervened for Josiah. Molech, it's interesting, Molech, in the Bohemian Grove, there's a 40-foot statue of an owl, and the owl is called Molech. It's a 3,000-acre forest in California. Amazingly, the one corporation that owns that out of England sold everything out on January 20th last week. No more sacrifices to Molech in the Bohemian Grove. Stopped last week on Wednesday. Amazing how that takes place. No more sacrifices there. They're going to have to find some sneaky way to do it someplace else. You see, a lot of times we don't think about these things, the brutality that the elitists actually do. It doesn't register with our minds. And if the Lord allows this to be made public to people, people are going to be in a stupor. So who thinks like this? Now, you and I don't have to take time to study it and to go down that rabbit hole yourself. You don't need to do that. Job 12 says, you and I can go to nature and nature will teach us. And in the Bible likens kings to beasts of prey. Daniel did that. Remember? Lion, bear, leopard. And then what are false prophets depicted as in the Bible? Wolves and sheep's clothing. So all you got to do, if you really want to try to understand it, is watch some nature show. Get on YouTube and type in lions attacking prey. And watch how they do it. And you're getting insight into Satan. Type in hyenas eating their prey. And watch a hyena where they come across like a wounded big animal and they eat it from back to front. I mean, at least a lion goes for the throat. But a hyena, back to front, finally the thing will bleed to death. Can you imagine if you're the animal laying there? I'm getting it. You know, stuff like that. No emotion. The animal has zero emotion. It doesn't lose sleep at night. Can people get that bad? Let me read what a former king or a duke, Prince Philip, said. The Duke of Edinburgh, who had been the husband of Queen Elizabeth II of the United Kingdom and other Commonwealth realms for 70 years. He said, if it isn't controlled voluntarily, it will be controlled involuntarily. Then he said, if I were reincarnated, I would wish to return to Earth as a killer virus to lower human population levels. What kind of a guy says that? Herod throws out an order to his soldiers, go kill every 2 and under child. And Herod that night probably slept very well, without emotion. Who would think of things like that? That's how Satan can lead a person, where Satan has come to destroy, to kill, and to steal. It just as good people get energy from good things, dark things get energy from dark events. Josiah put that down. He put that down. Jehu put it down, but Jehu did not add righteousness to it. Josiah put it down and added righteousness to it and loving kindness. Now, the sad story about Josiah. Well, let's go to 2 Kings before that. Let's get the exciting part first. 2 Kings chapter 22. How did this happen? 2 Kings 22, in the process of Josiah said, excuse me, we need to restore the Jewish temple. It's fallen in disarray. I can see we got little, you know, Abli sitting here. We've got a Buddha sitting here. We've got, you know, a Baalite god sitting here. We got to get rid of this stuff. Let's clean it out. And as they're cleaning it out, they found a Bible. Now, when I say they found a Bible, don't think that it's what we have. It would have been Genesis, possibly Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Most likely Deuteronomy is the one that they started reading. Now, if you take the Bible and you open it up, maybe when the very first time Ruckman found a Bible, Ruckman's testimony is that he broke into a house. He wanted to find a gun. He didn't own a gun. He wanted to find a gun. He wanted to commit suicide. He found a Bible instead. He opened up the Bible, and the first verse that he read was, "I'm going to smite thee from the crown of thy head to the sole of thy feet." Now, that's a real uplifting verse. It scared him. He shut the Bible and threw it across the room, and he said to himself, "Come on, it's just a book. It's just a book." So he walked over there and grabbed it a second time and he read a very similar passage of, "I'm going to, you know, really put judgment." And he threw it, and he just kept the book and then left. He stole the Bible. I don't need the water, thank you. Thank you so much. He stole the Bible, and then he started reading that Bible, and eventually, about 6 months later, he got saved. Well, Josiah, what part of the Bible did they were reading? Okay, in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 10, it says, "And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book." Okay, so that's the book they found in the temple. Deuteronomy. Probably Deuteronomy in itself. And Shaphan read it before the king. "And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes." It scared him. Tore his clothes. Okay, and then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, that's Jeremiah's dad. Verse 13, "Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words this book is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that is written there concerning therein." My dad didn't listen to it. My granddad did not listen to this. My granddad did all that wicked. Manasseh was his name. Bad, bad man. Wicked man. And so he's asking Hilkiah the priest, because under religion they have this go-between. And Hilkiah goes to a woman, a prophetess, in verse 14. Because often when men don't follow the words of God, God will raise up a woman. That's what he did with Deborah. If the men won't do it, God will get a woman. If he can't find a woman, he'll have a child. He'll find a child to speak his words. So in verse 13, she said this. Or 15, she said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read." Okay, now, if you want to read what he was probably reading, is Deuteronomy chapter 28. It's got 68 verses. The first 14 are basically saying to Israel, if you obey me, if you do right, I will bless you, I will do this. And then at 15, he starts, if you don't do that, if you go contrary to me, and then he lists all these curses, one after another, after another, and he went on to verse 68. Lord didn't have a balance there. I mean, like the Ten Commandments, 7 out of 10 are negative. So the first 14 was blessings, 15 to 68 was cursings. That's what he was reading. And he read the portion most likely where the Lord said, as I rejoice over you to do good, so I will rejoice over you to destroy you. The Lord rejoices in righteousness, loving kindness, and judgment. That's what he was reading. There was no solution offered, just like at Nineveh. When Jonah came in, 40 days, you're dead ducks. That's in the Hebrew. Okay, and so no solution at all. And the people said, God's mad. We got to do something. Maybe God will have mercy. And God did have mercy. No solution for Josiah. It was nothing but, you're going to get this and this and this and this, and I'm going to be happy doing it. In verse 17, he says, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. 18, but to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast read. Okay, a lot of times I hear people say, well, I don't understand the Bible. I don't understand. Why don't I understand the Bible? The next few words is going to explain why. Boy, this is something we need to get. Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord. I love that, because it's not knowledge of the original languages. It's not you got to be smart. It's not that you got to be rich. It's not that you got to be a very strong individual. If you want to learn the Bible, how do you do it? Have a tender heart and a humble mind. It's that simple. They don't teach that at the seminary. Why? Because the professors would lose their authority. A tender heart and a humble mind. Well, that's what he said. When thou heardest what I spake against this place, it wasn't positive. And he said, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. And then he gives him a promise. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil that I will bring upon this place. And they brought the word, the king word again. And then the next chapter, he starts cleaning it up. It's like, whoo, boy, I better get the job done. He cleans it up. And he reigns for, I think, 30-some years. But the thing I find kind of sad is if you go to 2 Chronicles 35, he humbled himself to the words of God. Now, this is a common problem we all experience. It's a lot of times if we like a certain individual and they utter words, we will accept the words because we like that individual. We maybe think that person is a good person. So we're going to accept their words. If somebody's a bad individual, bad person, somebody we don't like, when they say their words, we're going to be suspicious. And we probably won't like what they got to say. And this is a common problem. We forget that God can utter his words through any source he chooses. He chose a donkey to Balaam. Who would have thought about that? In 2 Chronicles 35, verse 21, toward the end of Josiah's life, at the end of his life. Verse 20, after this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carmishi, or whatever that is, by Euphrates. So two pagan kings are going to get in a fight. Necho of Egypt, would that not be a good man or a bad man? Of Egypt, that's going to be a raunchy man. He's going to attack another army. Josiah meddles in strife that doesn't belong to him. And in verse 21, this Necho, this pagan king, this idolatrous king, says to Josiah, verse 21, but he sent ambassadors to him, saying, what have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I came not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. And Josiah probably said, who are you, you pagan? God ain't going to tell you what to do. You're not going to listen to what God says. God says, I want a Jehu coming out of Egypt. I want him to attack these people, what they've done. He says, for God commanded me to make haste, forbear thee from meddling with God, who is with me till or that he destroy thee not. He said, Josiah, get out of here, get out of here. God is telling me to do this. Josiah's like, oh, you don't know God. Next verse, nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguise himself that he might fight with him, and hearken not, notice the narrative, hearken not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. Megiddo is the Old Testament word for Armageddon in the New Testament. You'd be surprised what source God will let you know some things. It might be somebody you don't like. But if your heart is tender toward God, you will consider the words from any source. Tender heart and a humble mind. And verse 23, Josiah died. What was Jeremiah's response? Verse 25. Jeremiah lamented for Josiah. See, I said they were friends. They were buddies. Josiah died. Okay, so he would have been, let's see, 831. He'd have been almost 40 years old. Almost 40 years old. Jeremiah lamented for Josiah. And all the singing men and singing women spake of Josiah and their lamentations to this day and made them an ordinance in Israel. And behold, they are written in the lamentations. Now the big picture of Josiah is he did right. He pleased God. Sure, at the end there's something, and God is going to look at the big picture. But what you and I should learn from this is we need to have a tender heart and humble mind and be able to discern the words of God from any source. We might be surprised the source sometimes. Now, Jeremiah lived another 30 years after this, maybe, I think. And Jeremiah, the quota dropped in Judah to the point where there wasn't one in Jerusalem, and God brought judgment down on the entire nation. You see, so personally, I'm thinking the Lord is setting up something in our country where we might see this Jehu or Josiah. And it might be, depends how far down a rabbit hole a person wants to go. And you know, it might be setting things up. We're looking forward to the rapture. That's what I'm looking forward to. Okay? But either way this goes, the Lord is going to have glory. But if the Lord allows this dark side to be exposed, you're going to see people in this country walking around in a stupor. And people will be so confused about the events, and you and I should step in and be able to give them Bible answers. The Bible's got the answer to help them through that. It might be the Lord's way of one last ditch effort to give people an opportunity. And boy, we need to step in. Either way, that rabbit hole you want to go, either way, you know the best thing we can do? Either side. The best thing we can do is pray and to stay in this book. That's the best thing we can do. Keep going either way, not get sidetracked about things, not looking for the Antichrist. I'm not worried about that. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. And so the Bible lays this out. Israel is our example. Are we going to help with that quota where God judges the evil? Or if the quota drops and God judges the entire nation? Either way, our country's still at a crossroads. It's an exciting time. It's an amazing time. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to see what your word says and help us to be people who have a tender heart toward your words and a humble mind like Josiah. And help us also to recognize that we need to be consider the words of people whether we like the speaker or not. Whoever utters the word, whether we like them or not, whether we think they're good or bad, we need to be in tune to your words. And Lord, the best thing that we can do is to continue to pray and to cry out to God and to spend time in your word and to be ready because the fields are white on the harvest. And these days are really confusing days to a lot of people. And hopefully we can bring them to the book that gives them the answers. Bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate, the only Savior. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to draw closer to thee as a result of it. Well, heads bowed and eyes are closed. If you'd like to use the altar, it's open for you. A tender heart and a humble mind. The Lord Jesus added a willing spirit. A willing spirit. Is our country experiencing a Jehu? A Josiah? Could be. Unless it's so far, the Lord just says, done is done. So the best we can do either way is spend time in that book and pray. Lord, I do pray and ask that you'd have mercy. I pray you'd help and direct, guide, give wisdom to the military of this country, the ones that knows what's going on. And Lord, I pray you'd expose the evil and bring judgment down on the criminals, the criminal element, the evil element, that the military would have an absolute victory. We're praying for that, but Lord willing, you demonstrate, show what you're going to do, and that we will yield to what you do, be thankful for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.